19th of Muharram, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Tir, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 12th of July, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At this moment, that is the starting points of today's special. We open Allah's book. Let's listen to verses 6 to 14 of chapter Al-Fajr. Inshallah, we'll learn more about these ayahs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi'ad.
Have you not considered how your Lord dealt with Ad?
Irama dhatil 'imad.
With Iram, who had lofty pillars.
التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد.
The likes of whom had never been created in the land.
وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد.
And with Thamud, who carved out the rocks in the valley.
وفرعون ذي الأوتاد.
And with Pharaoh, owner of the stakes.
الذين طغوا في البلاد.
All of whom oppressed within the lands.
فأكثروا فيها الفساد.
And increased therein the corruption.
فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب.
So your Lord poured upon them a scourge of punishment.
إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ.
Indeed, your Lord is in observation.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
مَا لَنَا رَبٌّ سِوَى.
A remnant from the former group, also known by the name Ad, existed during recorded history, which may be about 700 BC, and lived in Ahqaf, in Yemen, at the southern end of the Red Sea. People were tall and strong in stature, and likewise were considered excellent fighters. Moreover, they were very advanced in their material civilization, having lofty buildings in large cities, which cultivated the lands of verdant fields and luxuriant gardens. Some others say that Ad is the name of an ancestor of the people, and a tribe was usually called by the name of its ancestor. The role of women in Karbala is the topic of this episode of today's special. The women who were at Karbala are a supreme example of how ordinary people can become extraordinary beings who serve the Imam of their time in their own ways. By spreading the news of the event at Karbala, these women ensured that Imam al-Hussein's message of truth would continue to live on. These were not the first women to play crucial roles in the history of Islam, nor were they the last. From the Prophet's first wife, Lady Khadija, a prominent businesswoman who dedicated her wealth to the cause of Islam, to their daughter, Lady Fatima, women have always played an important role in serving Islam. شیخ ازهر ناصر.
Some of the women who helped the message were the wives of the enemies of Imam al-Hussein. You had powerful women, good women, noble women on both sides. Ibn Ziyad's own mother disowned him. Ibn Marjan, Ubaydillah ibn Ziyad, his mother disowned him. Hind, the wife of Yazid, she rebuked her husband. Some of these women, they had more courage than an army of men. So the role of condemning the crimes was very important. In fact, the fact that the stance that these women took made the crime even worse because their own women folk were indicting them for their crimes, solidifying the case against them. So no one can deny that these people were oblivious of what they were doing. Forever it will be on record that Hind, the wife of Yazid, rebuked Yazid for his treatment of Al-Muhammad.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio. People rise up and mourn. It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah. We want to look at an iconic character. Character of Lady Zainab, peace be upon her. Her greatness and her movement is reflected in her remaining sermons. She was equally eloquent and precise, and her words were equally profound. Notice to a part of her sermon, "You became arrogant and wrongly thought that you were pious. You thought you were still revolutionary. You thought you were still the followers of the commander of the faithful, Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. But there was far from the truth. You were not able to deal with the sedition. You were not able to save yourselves. You ruin everything you had done before because of your lack of insight, your lack of knowledge of the situation, and your inability to distinguish right from wrong. You ruined everything you had built. You look faithful and you keep making revolutionary claims, but deep down you're empty and weak." Zainab al-Kubra presented a deep analysis of her society's pathologies. About Azadari or morning gatherings for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, peace be upon him, we look at the history and philosophy of these gatherings. Public demonstration of grief first occurred in 351 AH on the 10th of Muharram. There was a spontaneous procession in the street of Baghdad, and the thousands of women, men, children came out chanting "Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein," beating their chest and reciting elegies. In the same year, a similar procession took place in Egypt. Very soon, Azai Hussein became an institution with deep roots in the hearts of Muslims. As Islam spread, different cultures adopted different modes of Azai Hussein. As Islam spread southwards on the subcontinent, the form underwent changes to take into account local cultural influences so as to portray the message of Karbala in the medium best understood by the local people, both Muslims and non-Muslims.
Some of the women in the story of Karbala, they gave shelter to the lovers of Hussein when others were too afraid. Last night, we mentioned the story of Tawa, that old lady that lived in Kufa. We don't have any information about her. We don't know anything about her. Nothing remarkable about her life. But in a city of soldiers, she was the only one who was willing to give refuge to Muslim ibn Aqil. You know, brothers and sisters, in the secular world, women are often taught that the only way for you to leave your mark is to make yourself visible and come out. Tawa never left her home, but we're talking about her over 1,000 years later. You can change the world from your house. The only reason why we know this woman's name is because she stood with Haq when others were too afraid. She gave refuge. In Basra, when the Shias came together and it was not safe to meet up, a woman gave her home to be used as a meeting place for the Shias to plan how they would join Hussein ibn Ali. And two or three of them eventually made it to Karbala. That woman, she has a part of that thawab. These women, they facilitated that. Yeah, they weren't front and center. But who said that you have to be in the limelight to leave your mark in this world?
We ask you, dear brother and sister, to remember us in your prayer, the light moments with your Lord. Thank you very much, and may Allah accept all your good deeds and azadaris and morning gatherings for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Peace be upon him. Thank you for listening to today's special, and fi amanillah.
Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya. مماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. Impatient and long steps quicken, my heartbeat tracing. I long to touch each inch as I pass, hoping to absorb his light into my heart. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Standing humbly at your green dome, I'm full of sins, I'm full of shame. I feel adorned by your beauty, giving my tears in plea, forgive me.
is good. Now I feel at peace. No sound amongst these millions, only I can hear my heart beat.
Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Bags are packed, yet I can't sleep. I yearn the streets of my Rasul. He is my love, please let me be.
Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brother, dear sister, salam, and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. Have you ever wondered why some people spend their whole lives hoarding wealth, only to die stressed and empty, while others, with far less, seem peaceful and fulfilled? Why are we sometimes proud despite being made from something as humble as a drop of fluid? Today we explore one of the most powerful reflections in human history, a quote from Imam Ali alayhi salam, a man whose wisdom shaped generations. He once said, "I am amazed at the miser who rushes towards poverty he tries to avoid, who rushes toward poverty he tries to avoid." And it only gets deeper. Let's break it down first. He says, the miser hurries toward poverty which he tries to flee, and loses the wealth he seeks. Modern psychology backs this up. A study by the University of Minnesota found that people obsessed with saving often increase their anxiety, leading to poorer health and even early mortality. They live poor, stressed lives, yet leave behind unused riches. It's ironic. They suffer like the poor, but will be held accountable like the rich. Practical advice: spend wisely, save reasonably, but live meaningfully. Generosity reduces stress and increases happiness. Science confirms this again and again. Next, he says, I'm amazed at the arrogant one who was a drop of fluid yesterday and will be a corpse tomorrow. This is biology's truth. We start as a microscopic sperm and egg. Then our bodies decompose like any other organic matter. Yet some of us walk with inflated egos. Why? Neuroscientists have shown that humility, not pride, correlates with emotional intelligence, and long-term success. Pride isolates, humility connects. So what my advice? Remember your origin and end. It keeps your heart soft and your mind open. And Imam alayhi salam continues, I'm amazed at the one who doubts God while seeing his creation. From the human eyes, complexity to the vast order of galaxies, even atheist scientists like Fred Hoyle admitted that the universe looks like a put-up job. The signature of intelligence is everywhere, in DNA, in ecosystems, in consciousness itself. Tip: next time you're in nature, pause, ask, who designed this system I'm part of? So inshallah, we'll reflect on these and inshallah try to be realistic to see the facts and truths. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
He is revered by millions, a figure of humility and principle in the world increasingly adrift in chaos. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, leader of the Islamic Revolution, is not just a political steward of a nation, he is a spiritual compass for millions of Muslims across the world. Since 1989, this man has led with a voice that champions the oppressed, whether in Palestine, Yemen, Lebanon, or beyond. A scholar and jurist, his influence stretches far beyond Iran's borders, echoing from the seminaries of Qom to the streets of Baghdad, Beirut, and Kashmir. His message is often the same: justice, resistance, and a principled stand against Western imperialism. Modest in appearance, austere in lifestyle, the Ayatollah presents himself as a man of the people. In foreign policy, his support for the oppressed, including the Palestinians, has been unwavering, grounded not in political gain, but in humanitarian conviction. And yet, recently, that same figure has been mocked on the global stage. The man behind the insult, a career showman, and the current president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. In stark contrast to the scholar from Tehran stands a man who built his controversial empire on spectacle. Donald Trump, who traded the glitz of reality TV for the White House, has shown over and over again that he's still more suited to late-night television than serious diplomacy. Trump's presidency has been anything but conventional, marked by bombastic speeches, impulsive decisions, and a relentless pursuit of media attention. While Ayatollah Khamenei's legitimacy stems from decades of religious learning and revolutionary struggle, Trump's ascension is fueled by branding, controversy, and celebrity, and his record tells a different story, one of broken promises, fractured alliances, and personal scandal. January 6, 2021. A date that shattered the image of American exceptionalism. A mob, incited by Trump's refusal to accept electoral defeat, stormed the U.S. Capitol, democracy under siege from within. That year, Trump was impeached again, this time for the incitement of insurrection. The first time he'd been impeached was in 2019 for what came to be known as the Ukraine scandal, where he was accused of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Trump's first round of presidency left the nation more divided than ever, but the scandals didn't end at the White House steps. Allegations of sexual misconduct, financial improprieties, cozying up to authoritarians, a hush money scandal involving adult film actress Stormy Daniels, $130,000 paid to silence her before the 2016 election. He became the first former U.S. president ever criminally indicted. And then there was Mar-a-Lago, where Trump stored hundreds of classified documents after leaving office. Among them, reports suggest nuclear secrets and foreign intelligence. The FBI's search of his estate shocked the nation and the world. Meanwhile, Ayatollah Khamenei seldom smiles before a camera. Trump, it seems, rarely steps away from one. Their images, a study in contrasts. One leads as a theologian, the other as a showman. One sees leadership as divine stewardship, the other as a brand, as a tool to satisfy his whims. In 2018, Trump pulled the U.S. out of the Iran nuclear deal, the JCPOA, an agreement that took years to negotiate. He did it first with a tweet, no warning, no plan. It wasn't strategy, it was showmanship.
I am announcing today that the United States will withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal.
Trump's foreign policy has blurred the lines between diplomacy and theater, from photo ops with Kim Jong-un to defending Saudi Arabia after the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, to attacking Iran in the midst of negotiations. Trump's actions have been unpredictable and often self-serving. At home, his legacy is marked by chaos, two impeachments, a travel ban on Muslim-majority nations, mishandling the coronavirus pandemic, and a relentless war on the media.
Miles away. That's not an invasion.
Honestly, I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question. Mr. President, if I may ask one other question. Are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President,
that's enough.
I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am.
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that...
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation? Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
From porn star Stormy Daniels to E. Jean Carroll, who won a civil case against him for sexual abuse, Trump's record reads more like a tabloid than a state man's dossier. The scandals keep mounting. Trump University ordered to pay $25 million in restitution. His charity foundation dissolved. Meanwhile, the New York Attorney General has long pursued him for inflating property values. Trump's popularity has taken a further hit due to backlash against his core policies, ranging from harsh anti-immigration measures to reckless foreign interventions. Notably, his unprovoked operation against Iran in West Asia has drawn sharp criticism, deepening concerns about his approach to international stability and undermining support, even among some of his traditional backers. Ayatollah Khamenei remains a figure of continuity in Iran. His decisions are anchored in Islamic jurisprudence. He consults with councils of scholars before making policy. His leadership is defined by doctrine, not headlines. He's widely regarded as a moral voice in an immoral world. His defense of Palestine, his critique of Western colonialism, these are not sound bites. They're part of a worldview rooted in history, struggle, and resistance. For over three decades, he has shaped the course of Iran and cast a long shadow across West Asia and beyond. His influence extends beyond borders, beyond ideology. So when Donald Trump mocks Ayatollah Khamenei, it's more than political banter. It's a collision of two worldviews, one grounded in tradition, scholarship, and sacrifice, the other in celebrity, spectacle, and scandal.
Turn off the lights! Turn them off!
A former casino magnate with multiple indictments, a polarized nation, and an uncertain political legacy, Trump can mock from afar. But history has a long memory, and as the old saying goes, he who laughs last, laughs best.
watches over you. He's the light of the heavens and earth. He's the first and he is the last. Obey him and always say, La ilaha illallah. Obey him and always say, La ilaha illallah.
Every night and every day.
Every night and every day. Never forget to say,
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
Let's recite the Quran.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of this program. I'm really glad to be with you as always.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, we're going to talk about the famous Quran reciter. Then we're going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. And after it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. So please stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, a prominent master of Quran recitation, which was born in Egypt in 1905 and passed away in 1978 at the age of 73. He's entitled Malikul Qurra, which means the king of reciters. He had a unique style. He employed Arabic maqamat or melodies to illustrate the words of Allah to the listener, and he moved easily between maqamat and never went off tune. Many famous reciters were influenced by the style of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, such as Sheikh Hamdi Zamil, Sheikh Raghib Mustafa Galwash, and Sheikh Ahmad Nu'ayna. Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of Islamic Republic of Iran, really likes the recitations of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, and he has advised Quran reciters to follow his style. Now, dear audience, let's listen to the recitation of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, reciting verses 41 to 45 of Surah Al-Qaf. Let's enjoy it. Dear friends, you're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of verses 41 to 45 of Surah Al-Qaf, recited by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just like you said at the beginning, while you were introducing Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, he is known as Malikul Qurra. And of course, he has some other titles such as Akbarul Qurra, the greatest reciter, or the greatest of reciters. And there are different reasons for this, that he is known as Akbarul Qurra. The first reason is the way that he uses the maqamat. He plays around with the maqamat,
the melodies, the tones, the intonation in order to convey the meaning. And another reason is his unique style. Okay?
Yes.
He also has good tajweed, like most Egyptian reciters. But the main reason is his lahn. We have two concepts in Quran recitation. We have saut, which means good voice, having a good voice, and, you know, reciting the Quran, not going off tune. This is saut, and having a, you know, the nature of your voice being beautiful. Yes. This is part of saut, something that is inborn. It's God given. Some reciters just, you know, inherently they have a really good voice.
Like Abdul Basit.
Exactly. Or, for example, Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan also had a very good voice. But Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, he does not have a clear and, you know, smooth voice compared to Abdul Basit. But his lahn, his way of using the maqamat, okay, because there are different ways that you can use the maqamat. You could just, you know, use the maqamat in a simple way. But Mustafa Ismail, he...
combines.
No, he uses it in a very intricate and complicated way, which makes it really beautiful. But at the same time, it's easy to learn and imitate the style of Mustafa Ismail, you know. It's called Sahlul Mumtani'a. It means it's easy to learn, but very difficult to master. Okay, this is the style of Mustafa Ismail. And we see that a lot of Egyptian reciters have followed his style. يَوْمَ يَسْمَعُونَ الصَّيْحَةَ The sod has isti'la. Just like Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, he pronounced the sod very clearly and correctly. يَوْمَ يَسْمَعُونَ الصَّيْحَةَ بِالْحَقِّ The sod has to be pronounced with thickness. Okay, you have to pronounce it thickly, heavily. And in order to do this, the root of the tongue is raised and also the mouth opens vertically. As-sayha.
So the place of articulation of seen and sawed are the same, is the same.
Exactly, that's another point. Seen and sawed, they have the exact same place of articulation, but their manner of articulation and the shape of the tongue is different for pronouncing sawed. The place of articulation is the same. The tip of the tongue is in the same place. It's behind the lower front teeth, right?
And the head of the tongue.
And the head of the tongue makes a narrow passage.
Yeah.
And whenever the airflow moves through this passage, the sound, the hissing or the whistling sound of seen, sawed, and zay is heard. So just pronounce a seen with tafkhim and you have a sawed. Automatically. As-sayha. And another thing that was really good about the way that he read this verse was bil-haqqa. The qaf has tashdeed, has shadda. And so you have to pronounce it with intensity, with emphasis. And also it has qalqala. So you have to do both, with both shadda, the tashdeed, and also qalqala. So how do we do this? You hold the first qaf without releasing it. You release the second qaf with qalqala.
Haqq.
Bil haqq. Okay. ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْخُرُوجِ And by the way, Sheikh Mustafa Ismail is reciting the riwayah of Khalaf and Hamza because of the sects that he does. Some people might think that these reciters who use different riwayas are reciting the Quran incorrectly. Because when they look at the Quran, they see that, okay, this word has this haraka. Why is it that they're reading it with another haraka, for example? This is not a mistake. This is a different riwaya.
Yes. Okay?
We have different Qurans, okay, with different riwayas. So the Qur'an that we have, most of us have, is the riwayah of Hafs an Asim. There are scripts and copies of the Qur'an with the riwayah, or there may be copies of the Quran in the riwayah of Khalaf and Hamza, which Sheikh Mustafa Ismail is reciting.
You mean they are different? The harakas are different? The meanings
sometimes
are different?
No. The harak, for example, one haraka that was different here was alayhum. In Khalaf and Hamza, instead of saying alayhim, he recites it alayhum.
So the difference is a slight.
No, it doesn't make a difference in the meaning most of the time, okay? But sometimes we have different harakas. For example, sometimes we have tashdeed. Sometimes you don't have tashdeed. These are some differences. But essentially, the meaning is the same.
Yeah.
And we also know this through the sects. يَوْمَ تَشَقَّقُ الْأَرْضُ or وَمَا أَنْتَ. These are sects, which means you make a pause
in the airflow
without taking a breath. So this happens whenever you have a saken letter followed by a hamza.
Mm-hmm.
Or whenever you have a long vowel followed by a hamza. This is optional. In this case, it's optional. Whenever you have a long vowel followed by a hamza.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
A warm welcome once again, dear listeners, from the beating heart of Tehran. I'm truly excited to guide you through another inspiring day on Iran Radio. We've lined up a mix of content, uplifting stories, thoughtful discussions, and the latest global updates, all carefully chosen to enrich your day. So stay with us and let's take a look at what's ahead. Our next program is The Ocean of Dua, an incredibly deep dive into spiritual supplications. We'll reflect on the rich spiritual heritage of Islamic supplications and ziyarat texts passed down from the Ahlul Bayt, as beautifully preserved in collections like Mafatihul Jinan. These sacred texts are a guide for the soul, leading to divine intimacy, moral awareness, and profound reflection. Then it's time for another segment of radio productions. Next up, Spring of Truth unveils the profound vision of Imam Khomeini. May Allah bless his soul. This program presents English translations of selected statements and speeches from the founding father of the Islamic Revolution, delivered on various occasions. Following that, the gate of knowledge reveals the timeless wisdom of Nahjul Balagha. This program is dedicated to explaining and illustrating the profound moral, ethical, spiritual, and social teachings found within this incredible text. The Ocean of Dua is coming up later, so stay tuned.
When your host returns to our camp riderless,
Azuru Sayyidi wa Mawlai wa Mu'tamadi.
The Ocean of Dua.
Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam ziyaratan minni wa niyabatan an walidayya.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.